Emmy Louie, and I have an announcement. Renee Jensen hosts the 2007 International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. It is held at the Sheraton Hotel, Parsippany, New Jersey, in the United States on September 28th, 29th, and 30th of 2007. There is a fabulous show featuring world-renowned experts in interior design, feng shui, green design, architecture, and healthy living. Attend the International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. Visit the website www.consciousdesignexpo.com. Again, that's www.consciousdesignexpo.com, and see you there. And we have great news. Our next guest is actually Renee Jensen, the host of the International Conference of Conscious Design Conference. And Renee Jensen is the owner of Design Harmony. She is certified interior redesigner and co-creator of Conscious Design Redesign Services and is co-founder of House Talk, an energetic system for facilitating and creating design choices by working with the energetics of the land, building, and occupants. She is also the founder of SpiritWay.com, an online resource guide for body, mind, and spirit community. She is also host of the successful 2004 Feng Shui International Conference in New Jersey. Welcome, Renee Jensen.
Hello, how are you?
Great. So do you have, what kind of accent do you have, Renee?
New Jersey.
You have a New Jersey accent.
A very obvious New Jersey accent.
Well, actually, I don't know because I don't know if there's different accents around that area. Do you know? I mean, you must know. All that,
yes, so. And I love the English accents and the beautiful accents that I hear, but this is what I have. But New Jersey does have a lot of great energy, so I'll have to trade off some of that beautiful harmonic tones for the energy that I get growing up here.
So it's amazing that you are organizing the Conscious Design Conference and Expo. How did you get into something like that? Was that of your own choice, or did someone tell you to do something and you ended up getting into organizing a conference?
No, actually, I have very few friends. They all run when I get my ideas. I'm one of those people that do get a lot of ideas, and I've always been very driven into doing something to help others. And for many, many years, I've done years of volunteer work and creating large living enrichment programs. We've actually done some that have been put in the congressional record that have been there for the children and creating living worlds for the children. And I moved into feng shui about 15 years ago, and I felt that there was not really an avenue to have a conference on the East Coast. We used to go to James Mosier's wonderful conferences out in the West, and they were always set in beautiful California locations, and I just did not feel that anyone was going to really come east, and I just felt that we needed it here. And this is an incredibly creative and talented area with designers, and you know, New York City is just fabulous, Philadelphia, and I just decided that I would move that energy towards bringing the 04 conference forward. And it was about a year and a half of work, and I did it with myself and a good friend, Dina, and my brother, Lou, and we kind of did it single-handed and had over 700 attendees, and it was very successful. Very successful. We were very happy, and it took about 3 years to recuperate, so we're back again.
Why do you say it took 3 years to recuperate? What is that?
It's a lot of work, and anyone who's hosted a conference will know the amount of time involved. And for me, it's not a conference business. It's a passion. When I feel that there's something important to be done, I was not planning on hosting another feng shui conference, but I've been working so deeply into the field of feng shui and green, and I actually had the conscious design concept. The name actually came to me in a dream, and I felt that the conscious design envelope was a nice way to really present the full package, and everyone needs to view all the modalities out there, not just isolate everything. And I felt that a conscious design conference would really interconnect the green people with the feng shui, the Tao biologists, and create an open-minded type of a venue for people.
Well, I congratulate you because it is very forward-thinking to step forward and to say that this is what it's going to be titled, and then I'm going to organize it. I think that's really commendable. That's a lot of work.
I know, and I really I do feel that the universe really wants this out there. I feel that it's necessary. I think that there's so many children that are ill today, more than there should be. The illness rate should not be going up so high. The autism and the cancer rate, and I feel that the piece that's missing is really understanding how space can really affect people and truly grabbing onto that concept. And really, I love the green wave, and we are, I feel, riding the green wave. The timing is everything. And I am learning a lot more about green. But I also do feel that just green alone is not going to create the ultimate highest level of space, because there's so much more involved with shape, color, and many, many more things in a space that can actually help people grow and be healthier, mind, body, and spirit. So,
since you sound like a very visionary person, how do you envision our society? If you're saying that we need to move towards, or not move towards, or whatever it is with regards to conscious design, what do you see when you're driving around or walking around? Are there wishes that you have?
I think a lot of wishes. I think one thing is that when we look at green design, and I've been in a lot of the working in a lot of the chat rooms and trying to learn more about green design, and just like with every other modality, they make the green, if you're not going green 100%, they call it greenwashing and astroturf, and I feel that we need to honor each other, and even baby steps that we take, because our society has been very just driven towards convenience. We were raised, the last two generations were just raised into just doing what was easy and convenient, and it takes time to undo that, and I don't like to work from a negative, guilt-ridden aspect. So one of my dreams is to really allow the people to just take the steps they can take through education and positive reinforcement. So our conference is a lot of fun, and we have a lot of deep lectures. But you don't want to go to a conference and feel so overburdened by the heavy weight of everything. I think we know the weight of everything. We're living it.
Actually, so, did you watch the live Earth?
Yes.
Did you see any of it? What did
yes.
you think about it?
I thought it was very good. Actually, a friend of mine, Bobby Bandiera, plays with Bon Jovi now, so I definitely wanted to watch him. He was the backup guitar. And I think what's good about it is that they're creating an awareness. And even if they may not have a full direction yet as to what you need to do, just by creating the message, putting that vibration out, alerting the children and the teenagers, and singing the words of just a higher consciousness, I think that's a great step that we need to take. I think it's fabulous because it's getting that energy moving and making people think more, a little more deeply. What did
I
you think of it?
Absolutely, Annie? Wonderful. I was moved, and I didn't even see that much of it because I was at the beach during the day, and then I came back home in the evening, and I saw it for about 2 or 3 hours. I was moved 4 times that I was in tears.
It's great to be alive right now. I know there's so many negative things about the Earth right now, and our children are going to be cleaning up a lot of the mess of the past two generations. But what's so great is to start seeing the tide turning, and seeing everyone beginning to embrace that awareness. The awareness is always the first step in healing, whether you're doing addiction counseling or any type of work. So I think we're in that awareness mode, and I think it's fantastic.
Yes, yes. The tide turning, to be a part of that, is very moving. And what's moving about it is that since your visionary is when you have that in your mind's eye and you envision something, and then maybe a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later, then you see it. It's very rewarding to see that, to hear it.
It gives you a lot of hope.
Yes, and then what's weird about it is that you think you're the only one, and then you realize everybody else is with you.
Yeah,
because
it's
I think it's interesting. I always love the Police. I guess supposedly they're back together. Sting,
mm-hmm.
of the Police. That song about the, and they sang that song, The Message in a Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this sounds trite because most people have heard that song, but I never really listened to the words until I heard it on the Live Earth, and it said that I'm sending a message in a bottle. I'm stuck on this island, and according to the next verse, it says that I got 100 bottles. I received 100 other bottles, and I realized that I'm not alone. That you think that you're out there and you're stranded, but everybody else is stranded too. It was. I love his songs. I just love the messages in his songs.
Music's such a vital part of my life and my whole family and friends, and I think music is just phenomenal, and it's always been a voice of expression, and to having it reach the teenagers now in this type of venue, it's just fantastic. It's really important, and especially a generation that's been so numb and so apathetic, which I think is the biggest curse of the society. It's better to hate sometimes than to not even care. And
absolutely. I want to give you an example. Is that I was saying that I said of all the employers, it's nice to have a nice employer that you're cordial with or whatever, which is better than an employer that you might have disagreements with, which is actually better than an employer that doesn't care about you at all. And I had that experience where I got fired because I didn't seem that there was some miscommunication, and I didn't understand that I was even in a warning doing something that was not acceptable, as opposed to someone that did care, and there were they created some time for you, and they kind of fought with you, because fighting with you is better than if they just walked away and they ignored you.
Well, that's how you ended up doing. You're a lot like me with you have the vision, you're out promoting and speaking, and you have the architecture and the feng shui background, which I think is just unbelievable. It's so fantastic that it's just that you've combined it and you're getting the word out. I just think it's great. I was just very happy to have connected with you. And plus, we're both pyramid schools, so we do go to that deeper level of wanting to understand everything.
Oh, so you're a pyramid function practitioner too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're an SSII member?
Yes.
That's great. I didn't know that.
For many years, and I tend to like to work in venues. I like to be able to explain things. I mean, I do have a very spiritual background. I do a lot of energy work, but I like to be able to explain why things work, and I need to be comfortable with that. I did a lecture for the fragrance and flavor industry, and there were McCormick spices there and perfume companies, and we had 20 minutes to speak, and I was in front of a room full of Oriental gentlemen that did not believe in feng shui. They felt it was their grandmother's, it was a superstition, and I had 20 minutes to sell feng shui, and I like that. I feel that I believe in it, and I welcome the challenge of it, and I think the training that I had received, Nancy Lee to me is a genius, and I admire all my teachers, but I've gotten the tools, and I can actually explain feng shui to me in a very real manner, and I love that.
That is amazing.
Don't you also,
That is amazing. I'm actually, I didn't know that you were a pyramid school, so I'm kind of getting over that, but But I think you're right when you said about what position we are in, and it's actually larger than what we think it is, which I'm actually just amazed over that, because, in other words, with Live Earth, I understand that it was the most watched show in all of television history. That's a huge thing to say.
It's huge, and it's wonderful, because just as we really seem to be falling off the cliff, we seem to be having a beautiful net coming.
Exactly, and it flips over. In fact, I want to give you this one example. I sell clothes, and on the commercial, it said, this outfit is totally synthetic. And it was funny, because when the salesperson said that on the video, she said it with such enthusiasm that it sounded really wonderful. And I was like, wow, totally synthetic. It's really amazing. And so the person that I saw the video with, and I said, is that actually a good point or is that a bad point? But she said that the way it was said, it sounded like a good point. And the person that I saw the video with said, sometimes if something is totally absurd, you can just say it out loud with enthusiasm, and you can just hide it out in the open because it's just totally absurd, and people would listen to it.
Mm-hmm. And they don't hear. That's how commercials have been running for years. That's, I think, how we got in the mess. We've been sold through the great marketing companies. And one of the things that we want to do is get the companies to get on board and make the green products more affordable, make them responsible, to allow the public to buy it, because the general public cannot afford to go out, and they all would like to have a green home, but they cannot afford to go out and spend twice the amount of money on something when they can go to a Walmart and purchase it. People don't have the dollars, so as the companies are forced to rise to the occasion, the pricing I know will come down. It will come down through the public
pressure.
It will come
down because people, and I don't want to be a Walmart basher or anything like that. The thing is that I know someone who doesn't go to Walmart because they oppose Walmart's employment policies.
Right.
And that's where it comes down to is people. And I think I was reading this in a business magazine where people are doing it because there's really no option. But if there was an option, they would actually choose that other option.
Right. And for a big company with such power, what a change they can make if they start. And they are making changes. Many of them are starting.
Oh,
they may be
amazing.
Baby steps, but they're trying. I think they're coming forward.
Amazing changes.
And another thing that's very important, and one of the reasons with the conference, is that a lot of the... You know, as a feng shui consultant, you get called in after the house is built. You get called in after the architect draws up the plans. And sometimes, well, you don't because you do them. But a lot of times, you know, it's very hard to go to a professional and say, oh, you have to change these plans. We're trying to get people to bring on the conscious design piece, the full pieces, the feng shui, into the whole process and actually start training more of the designers and architects in the modalities so that they don't have to make changes later or feel that their work was belittled because they did a beautiful job, but it might be energetically off and they don't even know it. They're just not even aware.
Well, that is one of my visions, is that I would like to see this mainstream where it's just the regular talk. And right now, it sounds like what you're saying, and I agree with you that it's after the fact. And I live for the day when it's just part of the culture, which is interesting because a few years ago, global warming was considered non-existent, or was it true? And now it's flipped over the opposite.
Right, it hit the tipping point.
And it's amazing. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is that day when everyone... It's in everyone's language.
And I think it has to come from two avenues. We always have a core group of intellectuals or passionate people such as the green people who have been living it for years and our feng shui group that we see all the time. But I think you have to expand it really into the public awareness, and then you have to get the professionals to start using it. So we have to get it out of that locked box a little bit more.
And that's what you and I are doing.
Yeah.
That's what I feel that we are. So tell me, so what did you do 20 years ago? Did you think you would be doing what you're doing now 20 years ago?
Probably, because I've always been one of those people that have done anything that I feel. I've always been very passionate. I've always volunteered, done a lot of work with children. I've done martial arts, and I've just... I've always been involved with the metaphysics and energy. I've studied Edgar Cayce, and since I was 17, I've always been involved with the other worlds, and I'm one of those wood energies that wants to learn everything and know everything, and I have a hard time seeing people struggling, so I was kind of destined to get into the service part of it. And I when I found feng shui, I truly connected with it and felt that this was amazing, because being a person that always lives in the mind, when you have someone that likes to read a lot and is very intellectual, which was what I was, you tend to ignore the surroundings. And I thought, well, what my greatest attraction was my greatest lesson. I needed to get out of my mind and actually get into the physical world. And when I saw the changes it could make, to me it was amazing. So I think it was my greatest lesson, but it's necessary. You can't just live in the mind. You have to do. You have to take action and make things. And we are in a physical world, so.
Tell me about the challenges of the conference. What is it? Is this just a lot of coordinating? What are some of the things that...
Well,
Is your work never done?
What?
Or what is it? Is your work never done?
It's never done. It's a full year. I could do 20 hours a day and still have a long list. We have financial, I've taken it on personally. It's a vision, and I just, expect the universe to cover everything. But it can run up to $250,000 in liability as far as hotel fees and speaker fees and guaranteeing sleeping rooms. And I kind of never let that stop me. We've always been very successful, and we just feel we're already successful. We have people signing up very early. But there's a lot. There's 40 or 50 speakers. There's 100 vendors, attendees. There's marketing. It's exciting. I'm meeting so many people that are doing incredible work. And
what has been the differences between this conference versus the last conference? Do you see a change? What have you seen that's different?
I see more of a connection with it. People are very familiar with the terms now, and I think that they're even more excited about coming to the conference. We did very well at the last conference, but one thing that's very interesting is people are very internet comfortable now. So I could do a lot of the conference online, whereas in 2004 people were not as willing to buy a ticket online. That's changed. That's a huge difference in the society. People right now are very comfortable with email, rather even than phone. So a lot of that work is lessened as long as you're automated, okay. But we have a lot more examples. We have a lot more people that have done green schools. We have the Willow School coming, Fairleigh Dickinson, and all the colleges now have green groups. So many people now are branching out, and they all want to come and learn more. So we're seeing definitely a larger, like, ripple. The ripple is definitely a lot bigger this time. So it's exciting. It's very exciting.
In other words, I think what's interesting about the green design is that it's not a fad. And for a moment back in the 1990s, we thought it was a fad, but it's here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm hoping for feng shui, too.
And feng shui needs to be taken out of that that fad and given the respect and the incredible potential it has. But until people can pull it apart and understand it more, they will not include it automatically. So I think that's part of our work, and the work of the conference is definitely in that direction. We had several mayors open up the last conference, and we'll have VIPs coming to this one. We have the Curb Appeal host coming, Dan Shatner. We have people coming that will spread the word and connect everything a little bit more.
Did you say mayors?
Yeah, we had several of the mayors open up our last conference. Mayor of Morristown, Mayor of Morris Township. We like to get the political people involved with the conferences. They have to do city planning. They need to understand how neighborhoods are affected. So
okay, we have one more minute. We have a few more minutes. Anything else you want to say about the politicians?
Just that I was shocked. The one mayor was actually into Chinese medicine. So there's a lot of hope out there. That's all I can say. But we're going bigger this time, and we hope to have quite a bit of politicians there and city planners there, and we have a lot of work to do to educate them.
And
I hope everyone comes,
too.
And I can't wait to meet everyone. So
attend the International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. So visit the website, www.consciousdesignexpo.com. And you have any other websites that you want people to visit?
We have the Conscious Design Magazine, which is a free magazine that people can learn more about. And they can feel free to call me if they have any questions. We have an 800 number.
Thank you, Renee Jensen. It was great talking
Thank
to you.
Thank you, Emmy.
I am Emmy Louie. You can visit my website at www.emyloue.com. Thank you, Renee Jensen, for being on my show. This is the Emmy Louie Show, and namaste.